Do you see it? It's the name of the title of today's message. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible and you want to turn there. I want to start today by telling you a story about Jackie Robinson. Some of you immediately recognize that name and some think, don't know who she is. Jackie Robinson was a famous baseball player. He was actually the first African-American Major League Baseball player in the United States. He broke the color barrier. And it was not an easy road. It was not, it was something that, a historic moment, but not a prestigious moment for Jackie. Jackie Robinson, he went through all kinds of torture being the first African-American Major League Baseball player. While playing one day, he faced hostile crowds any stadium that he went to. In fact, they had to store him in secret houses. They had to do all kinds of stuff to try to protect him, just so people wouldn't retaliate, cause physical harm to Jackie. He was used to it. But you know, can you imagine the stress that he had to have lived under? Can you imagine every stadium you went to, just the animosity that he faced every time? Well, there was one day in particular that he was playing a game in his home stadium at Ebbets Field. Then Jackie made an error. He committed an error. And you know when the whole crowd already can't stand you and you make an error causing more runs to go in for the other team? Can you imagine that you just win favoritism on the part of the crowd? No. The crowd began to jeer. The crowd would just give him a harder and harder time, saying all kinds of awful things to Jackie. And Jackie stood there and just defeated. You know what happened? One of Jackie's teammates by the name of Pee Wee Reese, he walked over to Jackie and he put his arm around him and he stood there. And he let the crowd see him do it. You see, because in that day, as backwards as it seems, in that day, you did not do that. Pee-wee said, you know what? This guy needs somebody to put their arm around him. This guy needs somebody to stand with him. And you know, the crowd saw it. And suddenly the fans grew quiet. That was a defining moment in many, many, many ways. But you know, Jackie Robinson would later say that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. That arm around his shoulder saved his career. Southwinds, I think we can all say, I think with confidence, I think we can say that at some point or another, we will all find ourselves either in the shoes of Jackie Robinson or in the shoes of Pee Wee Reese. We will all find ourselves being the one that just feels defeated and just needs somebody to come and put their arm around him. Somebody that needs someone to come and say, you know what, I see you, and you're not going to have to go through it alone. We may not be the first. I'm not talking about Major League Baseball careers here. But we're all going to be in some way a Jackie Robinson. We're all going to need to be in some way a Pee Wee Reese. We're all going to have an opportunity. There's going to be points in our life where we're going to be able, where God is going to open our eyes to someone that just needs someone to go and put our arm around them. But you know what? It didn't just take Pee Wee seeing Jackie and saying, you know what? It'd be really good if somebody would put their arm around him and stand with him and shut this crowd up maybe once and for all. It wasn't just identifying it, it was actually walking over to Jackie and literally putting his arm around him, right? He had to go and do it. There was action required. In Mark chapter 2, for some it's a very familiar story. It's a great story of the healing power of Jesus. It's a great story about how Jesus shows for the first time how he can not only heal people, but he can forgive sin. And the reason why this title of this message is Can You See It? Is because just like the story of Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese, it took action on the part of Pee Wee. It took action on the part of these four men to get together, put their paralyzed buddy on a stretcher, and carry him. Carry him up to the top of a building, dig a hole, and lower him down to Jesus. Let's read this story together. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. He was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, carried by four men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the stretcher on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were reasoning like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you reasoning these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your stretcher, and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he got up, picked up the stretcher, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The hero of this story is obviously Jesus. He's the only one that can forgive sin. He's the only one that could say to a paralyzed man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Walk out of here. You've never walked in your life, but get up, pick up your mat, and walk out of here." We know Jesus is the hero of the story. But I want us to look for a second at his friends. See, the friends or the people, the guys carrying this paralyzed man, maybe they weren't even his buddies. Maybe they just knew that this guy was paralyzed and they had all heard about Jesus. They had heard about his teaching. They had heard how he was healing people. And so they decided, you know what? They could help. He can help. And it took these four guys making a plan. Now, I'm not going to say it was a good plan, but it was a plan, you know? It took them making a plan, put the guy on a stretcher. I don't know how in the world they got him up on the rooftop. And I'm sure that one guy on one of the corners of that stretcher was going, "You know, guys, we've never really done this before. I don't know. We've never done it this way before. I don't know if this is such a great idea." And the other guys are going, "Man, just be quiet. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. What could go wrong lowering a paralyzed man through the roof of a building, right?" I mean, we're men. This is what we do. We can make it happen. It took them not just seeing the paralyzed man, but it took them saying, "You know what? There's no way he's going to be able to get to Jesus on his own." And they didn't let the crowd stand in their way. They didn't let a rooftop stand in their way. They just did whatever it took to get him where Jesus was. They did whatever it took to get him to Jesus. You know, these guys were good friends. Even if they didn't know the guy up to now, they're going to be really good friends after this. Because you know that this changed the life of the paralyzed man, right? In more ways than one. Not only was he able to walk and go about freely wherever he pleased from that day forward, not only was he probably now able to get a job and earn a living because he could walk, because he can move, but much more than that, much more powerful thing happened than that, is that his sin was forgiven. Jesus wiped his slate clean. You see, we got to notice that his friends, although Jesus is the hero of the story, his friends took him there. They went to extraordinary measures. What does that look like for us? You know, I mean, I am talking about people that just seem maybe to be helpless, people that seem that I don't know how, but God, I know they need you, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for them to get them to Jesus. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to talk with them about you. I'm going to try to be an example of what it looks like to follow you to them. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring them to you. What does it look like for us? You know, maybe for us, it's not carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher to somebody's rooftop and digging a hole in the roof and shoving them down there. Maybe for some of us, it's really as simple as, you know, I haven't seen these guys in a couple weeks. I just wonder where they are. I just want them to know that we miss them. You know, maybe it's an extraordinary measure for us. It doesn't seem extraordinary, but maybe an extraordinary measure for us is just picking up a phone and calling somebody and saying, we've missed you. Maybe an extraordinary measure for us is just saying, you know what? I don't care if it feels like it's out of the blue. I'm going to write an email. I'm going to do something just to let somebody know. You know, and I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about maybe people in our church family that something may have happened in their life that we don't know about. But all of a sudden, they're not around for a little while. And you know, if you're like me, you start thinking, well, Bo, okay, yeah, if we noticed that somebody wasn't here for a couple weeks, and then if everybody picked up the phone and called them, they'd be getting like 30 phone calls. How bad would that be? Right? I mean, it might really encourage somebody to get back to church. I don't know, you know, but you know what I think they would feel instead of bombarded? I think they'd feel cared for. I think they would feel missed. You know, Southwinds, I think we do a great job of being a family. But you know, we always need to be working harder at it. We always need to be looking for those opportunities that, you know, maybe someone just needs us to come and put our arm around them. We always need to be looking for that. And we can't let up. Because the minute we let up, that's the minute where we just become satisfied with, oh, well, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, they probably just don't want me to bother them. I don't think that's the case at all. Jesus said in verse 5 of chapter 2, he says, seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith, Jesus saw that they weren't going to let anything hold him back from getting this man to him. And although I'm not saying that God helps those who help themselves, that's not at all what I'm saying. That's not even scriptural. But what I am saying is that our faith requires action. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. John 13, verse 35 says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Guys, these four men took note, they took action, and then the life of the paralyzed man wasn't the only one that was changed that day. Can you imagine the lives of those four guys that took the effort to get him up there, dig the hole, and lower him down through that roof? Can you imagine that their lives maybe were changed that day? I think their lives were changed that day. I think not only did they see Jesus perform a miracle, but they could become followers of Jesus for the rest of their days. Now, in the story, we also have these scribes who were sitting there, and they were in the crowd, they were listening to Jesus, and they were thinking to themselves, okay, you know, why does he say this? He's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus addresses these scribes. He says, look, he puts them in their place, and he says, I am the Son of Man, and just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, I'm going to tell this guy to get up and walk. When this guy got up and picked up his stretcher and went out in front of everyone, It says in verse 12 that as a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God. You see, it wasn't just the paralyzed man that was affected. It wasn't just his four friends that were affected. It was everyone around there was affected. They were astounded and gave glory to God. You see, because four people noticed this man and did whatever it took to get him to Jesus, it wasn't just his life that was changed. It wasn't just their life that was changed. There were crowds of people that were changed because of it, and God received glory from them all. You see, it wasn't just Jackie Robinson's life that was changed because when Pee Wee Reese went to put his arm around him. One by one, the lives of all those teammates began to be changed. Now, I'm not trying to equate Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese with Jesus, okay? Like, that's not the deal. But what I want to ask today from us is, a question that we might ask God is, God, can you see it? Verse 5 again, it said, seeing their faith. God, can you see it? Can you see my faith? Can you see it in the way that I notice people and I want to go put my arm around them? Can you see it in the way that I want to do whatever it takes to get people to you? Can you see my faith? I want to ask this morning something maybe for us to think about. Who needs me to put my arm around them? Just ask the question. God, who needs me to put my arm around them? Who needs me to reach out to them? Give them a phone call, send them an email, drop by their house. Who needs me to put my arm around them? Who needs me to grab a corner and carry them to Jesus for change? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know what? I feel like the paralyzed man. I feel like I'm in a hopeless situation and I need somebody to carry me. Well, I would say that today, the answer is that Jesus can be the hero of your story if you feel like the paralyzed man. He can forgive your sin. He can change your life. How does God want me to show love to someone in a way I might not usually show it? How does God want me to show love to someone in a way I might not usually show it? You may say, I'm not the type of person to just pick up a phone and call somebody. I'm not the type of person that just drops by just to knock on a door unannounced. You know, maybe it's time to be that person. Maybe it's time to say, God, whatever it takes, I want people to come to know you. This week, I want to encourage us all. Ask God, do you see it? Do you see my faith? And then also ask, who needs me to put my arm around them? Who needs me to grab a corner and carry them to Jesus for change?